are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Welcome back to Mid-Morning Empowerment, and that was one quote saying, when I go home, right? We do have a doctor on the line, Dr. Emmanuel Mwale. We are getting into our feature, Deep Dive, Nurturing Spiritual Intimacy in Marriage, Sacred Rhythms, right? Doctor, good morning.
Good morning, thank you.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you so much. Can we open with the word of prayer? Can you pray for us?
Yes, let's pray.
Please.
Father, thank you that we are meeting again. We are to discuss spiritual intimacy in marriage. We just ask that the Holy Spirit will guide us during the interview. And we pray for our listeners as well. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, my doctor, for that. All right. Without any waste of time, we are getting into our conversation for the day. Deep Dive, Nurturing Spiritual Intimacy in Marriage, Sacred Rhythm. So devotions, worship, scriptures, these things aren't just individual practices. They can be the heartbeat of a spiritually rich marriage. But in a world of pegged, scheduled, and tied souls, how can the couples or how can couples create rhythms that don't feel forced or fake? So my question to you, my pastor, doctor, what spiritual rhythms can couples realistically build into busy lives?
Yeah, the world we live in now is really busy, so that it's difficult to really do something that is meaningful spiritually. And so where couples have little time together, I think one of the spiritual rhythms they can build is shared prayer. Another one is reading scripture together. Another one is nature walk. It's one of those that can help. Also serving together, doing church activities together as a couple, that can also help. And also a retreat would be helpful. Those are some of the things that I can think about.
Okay. And how do we keep spiritual practices from becoming performative or mechanical?
Yeah, the first thing is to return to why we are doing what we are doing.
Okay.
Yeah, so that it doesn't just become a routine or just a tradition. So once we know why we are doing what we are doing, and then we also focus on the benefits of what we are doing, then we will ensure that such practices do not become performative or mechanical. Apart from that, we need also to involve variation. Instead of doing the same thing all the time, the same time, we need to include variety.
Yeah.
Because that helps us to ensure that this is not just something mechanical. And then we need also to create space for questions. You need to create space for silence.
Okay.
Yeah, it's important for couples just to be silent.
For how
meditate.
Long? For how long? For how long? Imagine in the house, it's now quiet. We are trying to meditate. And now I'm waiting for you to start speaking. So for how long should we create a space for silence?
Yeah, the challenge is to prescribe for every person is very difficult. At church, for example, at times we would say, we will, during the 10 days of prayer, we would say each one should find their own space. Yeah, just sit there. Maybe pray for 2 minutes And then after that, sit, reflect for another 1 minute. So each couple is supposed to look at what works for them.
Right.
If we were to prescribe, it would be very difficult because our sensitivity to the working of the Holy Spirit is not the same.
True.
But what is important is the aspect of creating space for yourselves.
Mm. All right. So should we force routines or wait for natural moments of spiritual connections?
Maybe before I go there, I wanted to say that it's important to allow people to ask questions.
Okay.
Allow those questions that are even, may appear even need to be off. Because if you don't allow people to ask questions, they will remain with those questions, and those questions, I mean, your activity may just be routine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, coming to the second question there, the answer is we are not supposed to force.
Okay.
Anything that is forced is suspect. Anything that is forced does not help. Instead, we have to be intentional in what we are doing, and we have to ensure that what we are doing works for us and it is beneficial. And then natural moments, of course, work better. Yeah. But sometimes to wait for natural moments may make us also fail to do anything. So we have to be intentional. Forcing doesn't really work. Even if it's something spiritual, it doesn't work. People have to do that which they can freely engage in. They want to do it. They desire to do it. That's what works well.
Right. I wanted to ask you a question to say, so it's normal for a couple not to have a routine, but to work on something. Let's not call it a routine, but we are working on something here. Because a routine is something that is repeated daily. Maybe let's say at 9 o'clock we pray, and then 5 o'clock we come back from work, we pray again, we do chores, we do everything. So maybe there's something that we do not every day, but maybe once a week.
Yeah, you see, as we grow up, we are taught that we need to do family altar morning and evening on a daily basis. That's what we are taught. Maybe we'd go with that. That's a counsel from the church. But generally speaking, what works well is what are you comfortable doing? Not forgetting that our busy schedules may crowd into what we are supposed to do at home, and then also the devil can come in so that he takes away that desire for spiritual things. The routine one works, but really we have to be flexible. As a couple, we have to be flexible.
Right.
What is important is when we are doing it, we have to ensure that what we get out of that will really help us to be intimate and to be closer to the Lord.
And we need to be intentional when we are doing it, right?
Yes, we need to be very intentional.
Wow.
But to say, no, we need always to pray at this particular time. I don't think that it really works. I know that in the Old Testament, there were specific times that God expected the children of Israel to do certain things, like the Day of Atonement. It was specific. It was that particular day. But during this dispensation, I don't believe that we have to be so routine that if it's 9 hours, it has to be exactly 9 hours. I don't believe that's the way it's supposed to be.
And earlier on, Doctor, you mentioned of walks, taking walks, having a moment of silence as a couple. So what role can creativity like music, nature walks, shared journaling playing in spiritual intimacy?
If there's anything that works for a human being, spiritual or even not spiritual, it's music. They say music does bypass the mind where we make decisions from. It goes straight to the inner being, and it's able to connect you. That is why where you are in a bus, a song is playing. It's not a Christian song. It's a worldly song. You are listening, you may end up responding to that song, even if it's not a Christian. It's the nature of music. Mm. So somehow, music harmonizes you people as a couple. It has a way of uniting you. Mm. It has a way of bringing you very close to God. It has a way of binding you emotionally. It also has a way of taking you into the transcendence. In other words, lifting you up to God himself. That's what music can do. And then also, nature walks can remind you of what God did at creation, how God brought about Adam and Eve. And then you also can feel the presence of God there. Of course, God will be with you in your home. God will be with you at church or wherever at your place of work. But when you go into nature and then you begin to think of what it was like when God just created, and what did God intend for these human beings that he created? And then you just reflect upon that, you meditate while you are in nature. I think that has a way of lifting you up. True. Into the presence of God. Mm. And then when you do shared journaling, it has a way of creating a co-witnessing space where you are doing something together, and whatever you are writing is something that appeals to both of you. Mm. And so it helps also to build the intimacy. Mm.
Thank you so much, Doctor. And last one before I let you go. So how do you adjust spiritual routine when life seasons shift? Kids, work, crisis?
Yeah, let's look at work. It has a way of, for example, if one is working, the other one is not working, it may be easy to continue with what you are doing, but maybe the other partner also starts working, both of you are working, and then kids come in, and then there's a crisis. I think we need to reframe what counts as spiritual.
Okay.
There are certain things that we may say they are spiritual that may not be spiritual as such. Mm. So we need to do some reframing of some kind.
Right.
And then we need to prioritize presence over performance. I'll give an example of there is a crisis. Let's say it's a funeral. We usually say, okay, let's go to church. After church, we go to visit the family. I'm just giving an example.
Right.
And then when you come home, I mean, you come to visit the person who was received the funeral. We want to immediately start giving texts in the Bible that the person is already familiar with and may not even help them. Mm. Somebody says what is important during that time is your presence, just to be there. So in the same way, when there are certain things like crisis in the family, we need to think more in terms of presence. We prioritize presence over performance. And then we need to simplify and integrate certain things that will apply for to kids. Kids have come in, maybe you are just the two of you, now kids have come in. You need to find out how do we bring in these kids so that they fit in our routine.
Mm.
Because what used to work for you when you were just two may not really work now that the children have come in, especially when they are still very young. And then you also adapt to life phases.
Yeah.
Mm. Life has phases, so there must be an adaptation of some kind. Then you take community as a lifestyle. If you take community as a lifestyle, it will help. Then give yourself grace.
Mm.
Learn to forgive yourself in case certain things don't happen the way they are supposed to happen or happen according to routine. We become too much. I mean, we sometimes blame ourselves too much if certain things don't happen that way. We become legalistic, and that makes it difficult for you to be intimate in a way.
Mm. Ish, thank you so much, my doctor. Before I let you go, there's a listener at home sitting, realizing a lot of things. What are your last words to the listener at home?
We have to ensure that we are spiritually intimate, but as we are working towards that intimacy, we shouldn't be too hard on ourselves.
Mm.
We should allow variety. We should allow flexibility. We should allow ourselves grace in case we fail to do certain things, so that in trying to become spiritually intimate, we should not alienate each other, because we are not the same. We are different individuals, and God wants us to preserve our individuality even as we build that intimacy.
Hey. Thank you so much, Doctor, for that. Can you close with a word of prayer? Let's pray for this powerful conversation that we just had.
Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you so much for the wonderful time that you gave us. And thank you for speaking to us. And thank you that you want us to be spiritually intimate, even as we prepare for the second coming of Jesus. May your blessing be upon us and be upon our viewers, our listeners. We pray that you keep us in grace and that you unite us in our marriages and keep us together, even in these last days, to your own glory. In Jesus' name, we pray, even as we commit all the presenters at Adventist World Radio in your hands. Amen.
Amen and amen. Until tomorrow, my doctor, same time, same place. Have a beautiful day.
Have a beautiful day too.
Amen. To our listeners at home, that was Dr. Emmanuel Mwale talking to us about nurturing spiritual intimacy in marriage, sacred rhythms. What a powerful conversation there.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.